Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, police have identified the suspect taken into custody as 19-year-old Nicholas Cruz, a former student at the high school who was expelled last year for disciplinary reasons. Yet another school shooting in which the suspect has a connection to the school. Former NYPD Commissioner Bill Bratton.
We've used this phrase of the new normal. Unfortunately, school shootings are becoming much too commonplace. Part of the insanity in this country around the issue of guns.
Some students say the suspect had a preoccupation with guns.
When I was in the vocational school, the alternative school, he went ahead and showed me all his layout of guns and said that how he used to just shoot them around for fun.
He's just always been a really crazy kid. Like, and I heard some people say that one day he would have done this, and unfortunately, I think that was today.
The Miami Herald reports at least one teacher had identified the suspect as a potential threat after he allegedly threatened students last year.
Anytime we see a shooter like this, there are always pre-incident indicators. They either tell someone, they write about it on the internet or some social network page. We never see an individual just totally act out of the dark. The problem is we don't connect the pieces. We don't put two and two together until the terrible shooting takes place.
Since the Columbine massacre nearly 20 years ago, FBI veterans say the suspects are most often teenage boys or young men who are disenfranchised and preoccupied with violence in video games or the internet.
Hey, NBC News fans, thanks for checking out our YouTube channel. Subscribe by clicking on that button down here and click on any of the videos over here to watch the latest interviews, show highlights, and digital exclusives. Thanks for watching.
Good evening, everybody. You are tuned in to Against All Odds with Renita Graves and Ayanna Muhammad. Tonight, we're talking about teens and violence, violent crimes. Ayanna.
Yes.
What's going on? What's going on with our youth?
I mean, you tell me. I don't understand. You remember when you was younger, you said it. We talked about it one time on the show. You said that you didn't even have a door on your room at your mama's house.
Absolutely. What I had was those beads. You know, the disco beads, the little beads. That was my door. So at any given moment, my room was open.
How does a 17-year-old having an AR-15 in his room? Like,
he was 19 and he bought it himself. They said it was legal. It was legal for him. You can buy an AR-15 at the age of 18, but you can't buy a handgun till you're 21. But it looks to me like the AR-15 does more damage than the handgun anyway. So,
well,
I mean, what's the difference? What's the difference in when a bullet goes into your head? Is it a difference with the AR-15 than it is with a handgun? I'm lost. I'm confused. I don't understand the law.
Well, no. What I have found is the AR-15 is similar to the M16 that the that's what I read online. So I hope don't no gun person call and tell me like, no, you are wrong. But and also, I think it shoots more rounds or something. It's just ridiculous. But I don't understand why is it easier for a 19-year-old to get an AR-15 than it is to get a new pair of J's. Like, I don't
exactly.
Understand.
Wow. You can go in at 18, buy an AR-15, shoot up an entire school, but you can't go get a handgun that will shoot one bullet at a time.
I'm
confused. I don't know what. You know what? At this point in time, these kids are getting out of control. It's time for us to start lobbying. I'm going to tell you, when they took, I know, everybody taking a knee now with this American allegiance and whatever. But do you remember when we had to stand up in school, put your hand across your heart and say that, and then it was a prayer?
The Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, that. And so then you used to say the prayer in the mornings.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? At the schools. And, yeah, the teachers and the principal, you know, them teachers, them old school teachers break out that ruler, pop them knuckles, send you to the principal's office. You got that big long board, pop that butt. What happened?
No.
When they started taking the... You can't put your hands on the kids. unless it's somebody else. Like, you can't put your hands on nobody. A 70-year-old man went to jail for raising a 2-year-old and slapping him on the behind because he wanted some candy in Walmart last week. So they don't want you to discipline your kids. They offer virtually no help when you're asking for help. You can't really get help unless your child is in the system. Then they give you help. But there's no pre-help given.
But here's the thing. I think there's, okay, so I'm an advocate of this, and I think that there's two major issues here. Number one, you have this 19-year-old. He's a teenager. He's still a teenager, right? He obviously has issues because apparently nobody was surprised by his actions based on how he posts on social media, right? That's one issue. And then the other issue is, and I know it's, you know, one of the amendments and everybody has a right to bear arms, but when you have over, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 shootings that have happened here in the U.S.,
right,
all of them used an AR-15. So when you got that many shootings, and they all with AR-15s, I'm going to go ahead and throw this out here. Maybe we do need some gun control laws. Because I don't understand why you need to have some type of AK-47 or AR-15 in your house to defend
at 19 years old. Now, granted, I'm not making no excuse for this boy whatsoever because the media is doing enough of that. If it was an African-American child, he was just unruly, this, that, and the other. But they are in the media displaying everything in this boy's life that could virtually get him off on a mental insanity plea.
Girl.
His mom just passed
away.
His dad passed away. He was expelled from school because he had issues. Mm-hmm. It's a concoction of reasons why this young man will probably go to a mental house instead of doing time in jail. And that's another crazy part.
If he has issues, if he truly has mental issues, then that's where he needs to go. But true to form, you know how I feel about the media and how they handle certain cases. So we're not even going to get into that. But the thing
why
is,
not? Let's talk about it. Why not? Let's
because
get into it.
You already know what I'm going to say. You already know he's a white. Because you heard the clip. He said young boy or young man. That's what they say. He was a young boy or a young man. No, people that do these types of things are thugs. But that title is only used for certain types of people.
Absolutely.
Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
They digging into this man's past history, really defending his actions.
Defending,
or more so, not defending
his actions.
Justifying it. They're justifying on like, well, he's been through this and he's been through that. So you have to understand where he's come from and this and that. And it's like, I'm not trying to make it racist because I think it's a horrific crime. To me, I think the problem is you have this young man who was showing signs of aggressions and issues. He was already kicked
way
out of
before
school. Going on with him. It's
way
no
before
way
he killed these people.
Exactly. And then he can get a gun. Oh, okay.
Way before.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. Yeah, you already
they
kicked
have
out
pictures.
Of school. So.
Exactly. You're not even supposed to be on the premises. They have pictures of this man on the internet with handguns, I might add, with his face covered up, making posts about what he's going to do, but you track terrorists. There's supposed to be certain words that you put on the internet that triggers the FBI to start watching you.
But it's like,
That's what they say.
Not because if he was a Muslim or, you know what I'm saying, if he was a foreigner, they would already have files on, well, we were watching him or this or that.
Absolutely.
And it's like, it's so ridiculous, but I'm not even trying to make it a race issue because to me.
But you have to. Not really make it a full racial issue, but you have to make it a race issue because, for one, let's go all the way back to the beginning when the laws were made. They were never put in play to protect the others, the minority. They were always put in play to protect the Caucasians, which were the majority, which boils down to a race issue. So we can't, we got to call a spade at the end of the day. We have to be real. It is a race issue. It's going to always be a race issue. And it's going to always be, if it was a little black boy, if it was an African-American, or if it was a Muslim, if it was an Indian, if it was a Mexican or whatever, they would not. And I repeat, and I don't care who gets mad at me for saying this, but they would have not walked away from that a lot and not been in a body bag. It's just not going to happen. I'm not going to say every, because I think one or two of the Caucasian kids, and if you notice, how many of our minorities have walked into the school and killed dozens of people? Now, well, you might catch Leroy down there that brought a gun to school and somebody done told on him. But how many African American, Mexican,
if a black kid brought a gun to school, they gonna arrest him on point?
On
you
GP,
know how like young kids try to, you know, little kids do stupid stuff, right? Let's just be real. Little kids do stupid stuff of any race, and they'll want to show it off to their friends, right? But when it gets back to the teacher or back to the school, that child would probably be arrested if he was black
and given an abundance of time.
Because he got disciplinary problems, he had been carrying a backpack on campus before. It's like, really, you just, what was your disciplinary actions? Why do we not know what
he just got kicked out of school. He didn't go to jail.
Right, that's what I'm saying. And then it's like, but I'm stuck on these gun laws on the fact that you can, at 19, you can buy an AR-15. Like you
go right in and show your ID.
You can't even drink, but you can own a deadly weapon.
Absolutely.
And then it's like,
that's
the gun, I don't know if you read this, whenever shootings like this happen, right, I was reading an article, New York Times, whenever shootings like this happen, the stock of guns
goes up,
increases.
On guns, they go up
because people now, what people are saying, ain't nobody gonna come into my house. They not coming into your house, people. They
going to
schools
with
kids.
To the houses. We gonna talk about it just so happens that this young man did this horrific crime the day before our show. But there are so many crimes that are going on with our youth. And if you look at the statistics, the murders, the carjackings, the robberies, the everything that's going on, and not just here, we are in Atlanta, but not just here in Atlanta, like throughout the United States of America, it's happening with young adults 25 and under. And it's everything. There are so many children, I'm going to call them children, because when you're that young and you're that dumb, you have to resort to killing. Right now, it's a the news every day I wake up, it's a craze of people jumping in people's car while they getting gas. They stealing babies in the backseat.
That happened to a friend of mine. She was getting gas. She literally was getting gas at a gas station, and in the process, she was on the phone and she turned her back. And by the time she turned back around, it's because she heard her car taking off.
And it was gone, just at the blink of an eye.
It was gone, and she's like, her first instinct was to chase on foot, but what are you doing? She's trying to flag down a police officer. I think things like that. Now, I told her, I said, first of all, I don't even know why you was on your phone pumping gas. That didn't make no sense to me. One. Two, why is your key still in the ignition? So, you know what I'm saying? Like, certain things, I think we as individuals need to pay attention to our surroundings more. But I think
now we do.
That I think that you need to pay attention
now
to
we
your
do
children
when you got
more.
Now we do. You used to not have to worry about stuff like that. People, you remember when people used to go grocery shopping and leave their car running?
Girl.
You can't do that no more. I tell my kids be so mad at me. I get out the car and I will take the keys out of the car. I would like lock the door. And then if I don't hear the door locking by the time I get to the front of the store, I'm turning around looking like, didn't I tell you to lock the door? Like, y'all want to listen to music, but y'all finna sit out here and be cold if I take the keys out. And then I'm going to lock y'all in because you can't trust nobody. Our phone lines are blowing up. And before we pay some bills, let me take a call. Yes, caller please. With the last four digits of 2300. Good evening, caller. Well, I guess that caller didn't want to talk. Hold on. Take this one. Caller with the last four of 5664. Good evening, caller. You're on Against All Odds with Renita Graves and Ayanna Muhammad. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. We're talking about teen and violent crime.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that? Teen and violent crime.
When I read the topic of the show for tonight, I don't think it's one contributing factor that these teens are, that allowed these teens to commit crimes. I think it's several different factors. One, I think it's a different generation having kids. So I'm going to say babies having babies. And them not having the capabilities to be able to raise their children. And then I think when we were growing up or when our parents were growing up, we had big mama and, you know, we had real grandmamas who, if mama didn't get you, you know, big mama was going to get you. The neighbor was going to get you. And we had a village. And I don't think we have that anymore because don't nobody want anyone hitting or raising their kids, but they don't want to raise their kids. Working in the criminal justice system every day, these parents are terrified of their own children. And, you know, especially with these young males, I can tell a young man, pull your pants up. And he'll say, yes, ma'am, to me. But you look at your mom and tell her to shut the hell up. And for me, I'm saying, how you going to disrespect me? You don't even know me, but you're going to respect me. You don't know me, but you're going to disrespect your mama. I don't understand.
So you're in the criminal justice system. I mean, you work in the criminal justice system.
What
I see is, like, I've talked to some moms that say, you know, before their kid even gets in the system, they're like, I'm reaching out for help. I've called the police. He's climbed out the window at 3:00 in the morning. The police don't want to come to my house. And when they come, they don't want to, you know, they don't want to help. There's no resources out there. So, you know, they don't want you to be, because I'm going to be honest, I beat the hell out of mine. Growing up, and I think my oldest daughter is 25, and I know that I probably beat her within the last 12 months. So,
Lord,
if you in my house and you ain't even abiding by my rules, then I got something for you, and that's just me. So I have to deal with the police, but it's a few times the police done came to my house and they act like they want to lock me up but I pay bills here. So when I look at the criminal justice system, like, is there really any help for these kids? Or is there any real help for the parents? Like,
I think, unfortunately, when you try to be proactive about a situation, I think resources are limited. However, after the fact, you gain more resources through the system. And that is unfortunate. And it's due to a lot of different reasons. For one, the turnover rate is really high within the criminal justice field. Two, state funding is limited for certain resources. But once you're in the system, they have to provide those resources. Growing up. Go ahead.
That's crazy.
That's what's interesting. And I don't mean to cut you off, but
that's
what I was saying earlier was, like you said, when you're in the system, they have to provide you those resources.
Mm-hmm.
But what's amazing to me is some children are put in the system immediately, and then there's some children that are just, you know, expelled from school and sent home because of disciplinary actions.
That's
you know what I'm saying? It's like, the system is designed to help you, but the system is only holding once you get in. And then it's like you don't want to put people in the system because, like, once you're in the system, you tagged in the system, right? And then they don't want it. But I hear what you're saying about the system, but my concern is, why is somebody allowed to get this type of gun? Like, why are these guns so readily available?
It's the law. That's where we have to start at. We got to start at these laws that are just outdated and one-sided.
Yeah,
you know, AR-15 is not a gun. It's not a gun for hunting. That's a killing machine because it is a semi-automatic. It's a killing machine. So
yes.
I do fault gun laws and gun control, more so the NRA, and I fault the current 45 because Obama put certain things in place for those who do have mental health illnesses and diseases to prohibit them from getting these type of weapons and to go through secure background. And he was put in office in 13 days. That's the first thing. It's what the second law that you overturn. Why? But then you want to say Florida should have done more, or the kids at the school should have done more. Well, everybody saw his social media page.
Absolutely.
So at what point, and I know we shouldn't take these things lightly, especially this day and time, everything should be taken critical, because I think there was another social media thing, and the guy said Florida Part 2, and he's in South Carolina, and people were pushing it out there. You know, and we should all send it out there, because, but it should be sent to the local authorities, because do we not take it serious, or do we take it serious? Or we don't take it serious until it happens. At some point, these kids got to be take responsibility and say, you know what, I heard so-and-so going to do something. We got to tell somebody. And then the word's going to get out, you know. But the school's got to do better, too, in controlling what's going on within the system.
Comes in and out of those doors?
And who comes in and out of those schools? Yeah, they got to do better. For him to be expelled from school, coming to the school, no one saw him, to pull a fire drill, to have all those kids coming to the hall, and he ambushed them.
And then
where was security?
Said, number one, he was on internet posting things he used to do. He was always had slurs for blacks and Muslims. They said, he also, 5 months ago, he stated his aspiration to become a professional
school shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's what I don't understand.
And he was trained by white supremacy.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that's where he got the guns from.
Even as a mother or as a parent, they say his stepmom, I think it died, his adopted mom had died,
His dad died a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but before that, how does a child at the age of 19 get so angry inside against one race? To me, that's something that I feel like that's taught. I feel like that's something that's learned behavior. You already hating on black and Muslims, and you 19, like,
what behavior?
What happened to you that you hate blacks and Muslims? You know what I'm saying? So where are you getting that from, right? It's like, I understand you went through something tragic. You lost both your adoptive parents. I get that. I understand that. Now you're on your own, so you just made it. Like, this is what I'm going to do. But how do you put out that you're you want to be a professional school shooter? And this is everybody like, oh, he's so crazy. Like,
he's crazy for real. However, crazy or not, he killed 17, and he was small. He's not crazy. Let me take that back. He was far from crazy.
He was sane
enough to do what he did, plan it out perfectly. And when he killed these people, and it was an ambush of kids running outside, he ran out right with them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and this is what got me right here. The family knew that he had the gun, but they established rules of him having the gun. He had to keep it in a lockbox in his room.
Huh.
So,
you know what?
These grenades. Just don't pull the thing out while you're in the house.
Out in the house.
Right. Like, come on. Nothing in this world is going to make me understand why a 19-year-old needs that if he ain't in the Army. And at that point,
right.
That's something you leave at work. You don't bring that home. So there's
he
no,
was a one-man army by himself. But I have another question for the criminal justice. Because, I mean, all over it says that there are certain words on the internet, on social media, Instagram, Facebook, all those other little social media sites, that these certain words trigger, because we all know that you know, there's people at the police station and at the FBI and even at the CDC, because believe it or not, this teen violence and stuff that happens at school is monitored by the CDC. It's called a health risk. So anything that's a health risk is monitored by the CDC. So all the words and everything that he put out on social media, I just cannot believe that it didn't trigger somebody to be watching this kid's activities.
Well, I don't think people, and it's sad, we live in 2018. I don't think people take it seriously enough to call the authorities or to be proactive to be able to deal with the situation. Because everyone, especially in this area, it wasn't a bad area. You know, it's a great community. Nothing is ever like this ever happened. You know, that's what all the people saying. They're shocked and why their community. So I think when they saw this, they're like, oh, you know, just another kid. He's crying for help. You know, and that's what they say. So I don't think it was taken seriously. Now, the caveat to that is, if it was a black kid in an urban area and he would have done that, then it does trigger authorities to go knock on a door or for him to be called into the office or for certain actions to be taken. So it is, quote unquote, a label or stigmatism to monitor certain what they do versus what we do.
You are absolutely correct, because I'm going to say this before I put you back in queue, because we got to play a commercial. But you're absolutely correct, because a few years ago, my nephew was going to Carver in downtown Atlanta, had a little issue with a little girl, took a picture of my son's BB gun, put it on social media. I thought we were going to have to get a lawyer.
Because
so
he's deemed as a threat.
Exactly. But when you have a white kid with facial masks on, toting guns on social media, making live videos about what they're going to do and what they plan to do and how they plan to do it,
it's a cry for help.
It's a cry for help.
And I'm saying that because an attorney in Atlanta, Georgia, that's what he stated when a kid, a white kid, committed a murder 2 years ago, and the signs were there. He said it was a cry for help. But the same attorney for a black kid would throw him up under the bus and quit to give him 13 to 18 months in DJJ. I heard it for myself, and he's still an attorney to this day. But everybody knows he don't care nothing about the black child, the black male child.
We got work to do. We got some work to do, y'all. We got some work to do. Everybody who's listening, we have some work to do. Either we start rallying and get some of these laws changed, because we vote for the people that we put in play to enforce these laws and make these laws. It's time for – there are so many laws out there that we as a people, and I'm saying we because I'm African-American woman, we as a people are ignorant to. And if you go through the books, the laws, and just look at the little bitty things that we would never think about that could virtually have us sitting in prison for the rest of our lives, you would be wow. There's so many things that we're ignorant to the fact of that is just crazy and ridiculous. But again, I say, I'm going to keep on saying it, because mothers that are living to have young black men as sons, nephews, grandsons, or whatever, there is, if we don't try to get it fixed, there is going to be absolutely nothing we can do but to teach our sons nephews, grandsons, cousins, or whatever, how to not be put in the way of laws that can affect their future. We have to find diversions on how to stay away from this type of situation, because if not, we're going to lose a whole race to the system.
And the sad part is, you know, go ahead.
What was you going to say? I'm going to put you back in queue after much you say what you say.
I was going to say, the sad part is this is not going to end, you know, and it's gonna be a cycle, because you got another kid that's looking at this kid as a hero and say, you know what, I can do it better than him. You know, I can kill, because I think they all have the same mindset that they want to go down in history, because they believe they're not going to die. Because guess what? They ain't killing them on the spot. They're just trying to arrest them instead of shooting them where they stand. But we do have to do something, and it's going to start with gun controls and policymakers and, you know, changing some laws. But the only way that can happen is the people got to go out here and vote and put the right people in office to fight for our lives, because that's what we're doing now. We fight for our children's lives, because they can't even go to school and get an education.
They can't go to school and get an education. And then just think, the millennials are our future. When we are 45, I'll be 46 next month. When I get my mom's age, the millennials are who's going to be putting in my Social Security. And if they're robbing, stealing, killing, whatever else they're doing outside of working, making them a decent living and putting into my Social Security, hell, I'm going to be homeless. Thank you, caller. Thank you for calling in and sharing.
You're welcome.
With us. Let me pay some bills before the show is over. We only got like 25 more minutes left. We might have to do a part two to this one, because this is serious right here.
All alarm companies call the police after a break-in. Most burglaries take place between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. Home alarm systems don't prevent burglaries. Be proactive. Get a Digital Guard Wireless HD home camera system and monitoring. Systems start as low as $684.63, or you can lease a Digital Guard HD wireless home camera system with no credit check for only $50 a month with $275 down for 14 months. Call Digital Guard at 888-640-5777, hit option 2, and use the promo code Renita, because what you can't see will hurt you.
Welcome back to Against All Odds with Renita Graves and Ayanna Muhammad. Tonight we're talking about teens and violent crimes. Ayanna, I got another caller. Let me pick it up because the phone line is blowing up. So I do want to take one more caller at least, and then we can continue on with our dialogue. Caller with the last four of 2640. Good evening, caller.
Good evening, ladies.
Your own Against Our Eyes with Renita Graves and Ayanna Muhammad. We are talking about teens. We're doing fine. How about yourself?
I'm doing good.
Okay, we're talking about these teens and these violent crimes.
This whole Florida shooting that happened yesterday, like, how do we stop this?
How can we stop this in school?
What is one of the major issues in this?
I don't know if we will ever stop it. I think we can put things in place to bring awareness to these things so that we could be more proactive than reactive. But I don't think we could ever stop the violence that goes on in schools or the violence that goes on in the world. And you have to remember, you have a president in office who is in cahoots with the NRA. Stopping, you know, the selling of guns or making it, you know, much harder with these background checks, I mean, he's in cahoots with them. So, once again, it's about bringing awareness. And even within the school system, you know, I was listening to the caller before, and I had to take some mental notes because she really was saying a lot of good things. But I think a lot of times it starts with these parents. I agree, like you said, I mean, it's babies raising babies, but you also got to remember we have a lot of kids growing up in single-parent households these days, and that parent is at work or doing things to try to make ends meet, and those children are left home by themselves, or they're at their friend's house, or they're in the streets. So what happens then? Society raises them, not their parents anymore. And
their friends.
Where does your child get that type of hate from, though? You know what I'm saying? Like, where does that type of hate build up in somebody who's so young? Like, how can you be 19 and hate an entire race of people?
Not in somebody's defense. Let me put that out there first. But there is so much stuff that's going on in the school systems as far as bullying. I mean, if you look at this kid,
right.
He really was not, like, the best thing to look at. He did, well, you know, not to be talking about nobody else's kids, and I'm glad that I'm never going to have another kid because he might come out looking funny. But if you look at him, he looks kind of funny. So, you know, bullying comes into play. You never know, and that's not an excuse. Because you hear and see so many things that go on inside the schools on a daily basis when it comes to these kids, period. Kids can just be mean all the way around. So he may have, you know, hooked up with some more kids that were being bullied. Or we talked about sex trafficking last week, and people, you know, it's like a cult. If he's in with this white supremacists and he's getting trained by them, they're feeding him hatred for other races. But caller,
it just blows my mind.
System, do you see a lot of, like, I don't know, probably it's probably not a mixture or even a unbalanced amount of Caucasian kids versus African-American and Mexican or whatever, but is there, just looking, just observing what goes on in the school system, can you just recognize a difference in this? You know, there's not a mix. When I grew up, hell, we hung out with everybody. We had white kids, black kids, whoever was in the neighborhood. We were all poor, so it didn't matter. You know, you didn't have no more than I had. We were all poor, so we weren't really looking at race like that. But do you see a mixture? Okay, these kids over here, they only hang with white kids, or I don't know. I don't even know where to start at.
I think it's all types of categories. You have the athletes who hang out with the athletes. You have the smart kids that are AP classes that hang together. You have those that are the cool kids that hang together. So I don't even think at this point it is a race thing. It's more of a, you know, who's who type thing in high school, middle school, elementary at this point. Bullying definitely has been a very big movement over the past couple of years as far as so many kids feeling bullied and committing suicide or killing others. And I think it's interesting that we keep saying he was part of the white supremacy, but he killed white people. It wasn't, you know what I mean? Like, the people that I've been seeing were white people that he killed. I think he just, the articles that I've read, they said he was a loner. He could have been getting bullied. He could have been having issues at home. I mean, let's just be honest. Your parents let you have a gun and a lockbox in your room. I'm not sure what type of parenting that is, but it's not the kind that I was raised. And I'm going to be honest.
Right.
My mother was Caucasian.
My
mother was Caucasian. My father was black. They didn't play that. So, once again, you know, I think there's a lot of different factors. And I do definitely believe that mental health is an issue that we seem to kind of push in a corner when these things arise. And ignore, and we don't, you know, there's no telling what this kid was going through. Obviously, he was expelled from school. You know, you get a lot of time on your hands, and you, you know, start to peruse the internet and see all types of things. Who knows what this child was exposed to, what he saw, even in his own family. You get what I'm saying? And he just finally snapped. And it could have been something so simple. Somebody, you know,
did something simple to him in the grocery store, and that was the icing on the cake. And he was like, hey.
And that's true.
That's true.
But here's
the thing.
I can see that.
But remember growing up, like you say, the parents let him have a gun in the lockbox. When I grew up, I couldn't even have other friends. Like, my dad, my mom would be like, where you get that from? If I had something in the house that I didn't buy. You know, it's like, where did you get that from? Whose is that? It's like, you can't. I think it still goes down to even him being a loner and all of that. I think it still goes down to the parent really not paying attention. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Because
absolutely.
At this point, you're noticing that he's a loner. You're noticing that he's not in any activities. Well, what else are you noticing? You notice that he has a gun. And I need to know, why do you feel like you need to have this? Like, we need to sit down and talk about this over dinner or something. Like, why? I'm not a lot.
Well, the question
like,
is, did they notice?
Well, you got to think.
Question. Did they
he was living he with some new people. His birth mom passed away in November. He was living with friends and family. His father passed away.
So it wasn't.
You know, and I can see the mental health thing because I probably needed some help back in the day when I was younger. You know, when my dad passed away and some things happened, and I just was angry with the world. And my mom was a single mom, so she worked two jobs. I don't think my mom has never, up until she retired, not worked like she worked two jobs. So there was a lot of times when, you know, I was there, me and my brother, we were just there at home, and hell, we fought. So you really never know what a child is going through. I do agree that these laws are ridiculous when it comes to who's able to buy guns and bear arms and this, that, and the other. But I still say, with all the warning signs that this young man put on social media and the things that he was saying to others in school, I just do not see why he was not on somebody's radar. That somebody could have grabbed this child and got him help, you know, try to figure out what was going on before this incident happened. But I got another question. Look, when I get callers, like the caller before and this caller right here that are calling, and they're actually in a setting where they deal with children all the time, I got to ask all my good questions. So,
let me say this before you ask your question, because I read an article today that said when he made the post about saying he was going to shoot up a school or be a school shooter, they said that the person who owned that particular YouTube channel contacted the FBI. And he said that he sent them a screenshot of what was said on his post on YouTube. And he said he never heard nothing else about it until after the school shooting happened, the FBI then showed up back at his door. So who dropped the ball?
They dropped the ball.
Absolutely.
Somebody needs to be held accountable for dropping the ball.
Absolutely.
They need to do a full investigation of from start to finish, because, like I said, I know for a fact that there are people that sit in the police stations and their sole job is surf the net for stuff like this. They're looking. They have fake profiles. They're posing as kids. They're doing everything on social media, and that's all they do. They get paid to surf the net and find stuff like this. So if somebody sent a screenshot of a YouTube video to the FBI, if I was parents of these kids, or if any one of my kids would have gotten killed in this, I want to go all the way back to the beginning. I want to know who got the message, who opened it up. I want to know what they did, who they told, why they didn't follow. I want to know everything, because at this point in time, nobody is safe. My child is dead. Nobody is safe. I want everybody
to pay for it,
to be held accountable. Everybody, this is just ridiculous. There's so many balls that got dropped on this one. So many. But answer my question. Let me ask my question. Okay, so as a teacher in a public school system, do they train you at the schools to identify when kids are acting a little funny or suspicious? Do they have special training in the schools for teachers or administrators or whoever to to notice this stuff? Like, because the kid said something, but clearly there was a teacher somewhere that saw some type of behavior in this child that before he got expelled for threatening or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
So how do you all handle?
So as educators, people of the law, we are mandated reporters. Anytime a student comes to us saying, hey, little Billy did something suspicious, or hey, you know, Sarah, I think I saw a knife in Sarah's backpack, whatever it is, we are to report it to our administrators. We're not to investigate it. That's not our job. We're to report it to our administrators, who then begin the investigation by also reporting it to the SROs on campus. Now, I didn't go to school to be a teacher. So I know that they take classroom management classes, mm-hmm. which, you know, those type of things may fall into it. We do have trainings, you know, in the beginning of the year as far as mandated reporting, and, you know. And I think that when you see certain things, you know, I think as human nature, you're like, okay, you know what, let me go check on little Johnny, or let me go to the counselors and report what I saw. And it could be, and it could turn out to be absolutely nothing. But I know for me, I'm going to go say something. Because, like you said, this day and age, anything is possible.
Anything is possible. And, you're bringing drugs, knives, guns.
I got a question. I got a question, though, because to your point, like you said, as teachers and administrators, that's what you are supposed to do, right? But
right.
they expelled him due to basically bad behavior, whatever it was. And my question is this, why not get him some help then? You're expelling him from school, so you're basically putting him out and telling him you cannot be educated here any longer because you've just gone too far. And why not?
Because he's
why
probably,
not get him help
it depends
at that
on
point?
What he did. It depends on right. what he did. If he was, and if he was expelled, he probably showed signs of harm to other students.
Mm-hmm.
So in that particular case, you have to be removed if you're expelled.
Right, but removing him from the school is like my thing is I'm not saying don't remove him, but I'm not saying why not? Why is he not forced to get help at that point? You see what I'm saying? Like, obviously, you're a danger to society.
Because by law, we can't make anybody do anything. I can suggest to you, and I'm sure the counselors will suggest to that parent, you know, this is somewhere else that he could possibly go to. You know, you could get expelled from a county, but possibly be enrolled in another county.
In another county.
Right. And my assumption is, depending on what it is that the child did, the counselors may refer him to alternate programs that could help him with his behavior. There are programs out there where if you're not able to be in a school setting due to your behavior, we can find other avenues that will, you know, teach you skills and hopefully help you graduate. The GED program is always available. But there are programs that, you know, the counselors will suggest to the parents as far as helping with that behavior. You know, sometimes defects gets involved. Sometimes, you know, we have people on site that help with putting kids in tech schools and vocational programs that, you know, because they're not able to be in the classroom environment, there are other programs available for these students. But once again, we don't know what he was expelled for. We don't know how many times he's been in trouble. You get what I'm saying? And there has to be boundaries that you won't harm yourself or other students in the building. So
True. To
the fact that he was expelled, he must have done something really bad. Maybe he brought
and then he got expelled and wasn't able to graduate. It didn't say what grade he was in when he got expelled, because I'm
right.
sure.
They just said he was expelled.
You know what I'm saying? But at 19,
put his business out.
Yeah, they didn't put his business out. But I'm gonna go investigate because
I
you're 19.
Like, you know, and I'm gonna be honest. This is back to the whole difference in race and how things have happened because. If he was a young black boy, we would have definitely known what he was expelled from.
Everything
school.
Happened from him, but from the time he came
and
out.
And that's so sad. He
and
probably
it's
would be
sad.
Dead.
And
he,
I, and
we
I'm
wouldn't
not
even
saying
be talking about. He probably would have been dead.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Because
We know, like, there's an image floating around on the internet. It shows them taking down Eric Garner in New York, 3-4 police officers, and then this guy is like one little person just, you know, taking him down and rolling him over like, dude, do you need any help getting up? It's like, it just seems the image itself is graphically different. You know what I'm saying? And I know the size of them are different and this and that and all of that, but it's just, I just really wish that, and to your point, I know that we're not going to stop violence in this conversation, but to me,
no.
I'm on the stance of we really need to change these gun laws, and we really need to, yes, and then as parents.
But we also have to talk to our kids.
Yeah, and that's
and
what I'm saying.
And we have
parents,
to be nosy,
yes.
But it's so many parents that are scared of their
children.
Kids. They're scared.
Yes.
They won't go take their phone and be like, let me, what you got going on? Unlock this phone. Like I said, I didn't have a door in my room when I grew up. My little house on Gladstone, we had the disco beads up to the thing. And God forbid I had to use the bathroom real bad and ran through there and busted through because the beads was going to end up on the floor.
Oh, my God.
But I'm just saying.
I can't imagine.
I had no privacy.
Telling my mama, this my gun in this lockbox. I say,
and
what?
Don't touch it.
This is my gun in this lockbox. No, I got it in the lockbox.
In your room.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, it's
right, don't
know.
That, if we had a gun
you
in my house,
you couldn't even lock doors
so
in our house,
there.
Let alone have a lockbox. What?
Right.
No.
I can't, man. I really.
It just wasn't happening. Times have changed. People have changed. Because, like I said, there used to be a village. Y'all remember that day? Those days, there used to
that's
be a village.
It was somebody, a friend house he was at down the street acting real strange, and the parent just didn't say nothing. You know what I'm saying? They was just like, oh, he just can't come back here. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but even nobody, and even the kids, though, and that's what I mean when I say let's talk to our kids. We need to let our kids know that it's not snitching, but you are
possibly saving a life.
You're possibly saving a life because you said something to somebody because you noticed this child's behavior. You knew that it wasn't normal. You knew that it probably wasn't very safe. You saw something that seemed a little abnormal, and you even if you would have said it to your mother, if you would have said it to a teacher, like we have got to start telling our kids it's okay to report things and not just keep it to yourself. And then after this happens, you're in the news talking about, well, I saw little Billy, you know, looking strange. He started wearing all black one day. You know, he started writing on the desk with a pencil and pen and knives. Like, come on. We have to say these things out loud. We cannot continue to let our kids just think, oh, it's snitching, so I can't say nothing. Nah, baby, you got to save my life.
That's so true. That's true. So, well, we're definitely going to have a part two. To this because I got some more callers, but we're down to crunch time, and I got to pay another bill and all kind of other stuff. But I want to thank you for calling in and sharing. Like I said, we're going to do a part two, and I'm going to send that information out. So I hope you call back in because I have some more questions.
Me too.
I appreciate you calling and sharing with us.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for picking up my line.
I got you. I'm sorry it took me so long, but
no worries.
Everybody has something to say on this topic tonight.
It's an important topic. It needs to be talked about.
It does, and we got to come up with some ways to change. Oh, I mean, if we got a rally, we have to figure out a way to save our kids because they're out of control. I want to be able to draw from Social Security when I get older. I don't want to work the rest of my life. I want it. But if we don't have productive citizens in this world, which it looks like we're not going to have any, not too many, then I'm going to be eating canned food like the little lady that was on the news about 10 years ago. Remember she said she was eating the cat food.
Getting your money set.
I
ain't gonna be able to draw my Social Security thing gonna come in and say I get $2.22 when I retire. Let me pay some bills.
Did you know that most alarm companies call the police after the break-in, and most burglaries take place between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. when most people are not at home? Home alarm systems don't prevent burglaries. So why not be proactive? Get a Digital Guard Wireless HD home camera and monitoring system that can start as low as $684. Or you could lease a Digital Guard HD wireless home camera and monitoring system with no credit check for $50 a month. You'd only need a $275 deposit, and that's going to last you for 14 months. So call Digital Guard at 888-640-5777, hit option 2, and use the promo code Ayana.
Ayana.
Yes,
we only have a few
minutes
left, but I had some stories about some teens and some of the violent crimes that they have committed. But I do want to let everybody know that our show for next week will be held on Tuesday instead of Thursday because somebody is going on vacation, a very much needed vacation. And they will be out of the country next week and cannot
and
log in.
All the people that know listening know that ain't me. Moving on.
So next Tuesday at 8 o'clock p.m., Ayana and I will be discussing our youth and this drug problem. Yeah, I said it. Our kids are using drugs, and they are out of control, and there's a new epidemic called, there's a new challenge out on social media called the Tide Pod Challenge, where
yeah,
they are...
You can't
wash your clothes because your kids are sniffing and drinking the Tide Pods. So, they have all these crazy drugs. They're sprinkling all this stuff in the marijuana. They're popping pills. They got candies. They have everything. You name it, these kids are doing it. So we have to find a way to get our kids back. Oh, my God. It's crazy. Tuesday night.
We do.
Tuesday night, we'll be talking about kids and drugs.
Yeah, and pray for the family in Florida, the families in Florida, because they are going through something traumatic. And we
please say a prayer. I can't imagine what these parents are going through.
Yeah.
It makes me scared for my kids right now. My son and my nephew are going to school here in Georgia, and they're not in Gwinnett County, not to say that, you know, all schools in Gwinnett County are bad, but when I moved here almost 11 years ago and I looked up the school systems, Gwinnett County was like listed as the top county in the United States. Well, right now they have so many crimes. Like I said, we're going to talk about that on our part two, but they have so many things going on in the schools at Gwinnett, down to the little girls being raped and everything. So like it's just this I don't
we're
know we're
going
to
about
hell.
Same time.
I don't know what, look, I just said we're going to hell. I don't know what else to say. It's crazy. We're just going to hell. I think our kids are out of control.
I'm not letting them take me down. I'm not doing it. Y'all going to do something about this 4-5 in office. I'm sorry. I ain't doing it.
But it's bigger than him. I look at him like he's just putting his stamp of approval on the foolishness, but it's still foolishness. You know what I'm saying? Where the other presidents were talking about the foolishness, he's encouraging the foolishness, but he's not the reason for all the foolishness. It's been foolishness. He's just endorsing
it. Yeah, it has. I know what you're right. I'm not going to blame it on 4-5 because this is not his fault, and this has happened under other presidents. But we just got to – I think we got to get these gun laws under control.
We have to.
And these parents got to start watching their kids because we can't keep doing this. This is crazy.
We have to get it under control because if not, we're going to be sucked into this hole and we're going to learn to expect. When things happen repeatedly all the time, that we learn to expect for those things to happen. And that's a bad thing for us to start expecting that some other kid is going to go into a school and kill our kids. We can't expect that. It's time for us to close this show. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. We appreciate all of our listeners. Make sure you tune in next Tuesday, not next Thursday, next Tuesday at 8 p.m. so that we can talk about these kids and these drug issues. Thank you, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Having a camera system is not enough. We are told that surveillance cameras are effective crime-fighting tools because they deter and/or record evidence of criminal activity. But this information is false. Deterrence only works on some people, not all. One only has to keep up with the news being reported from around the world, and we see day after day of overnight burglaries or smash and grabs of businesses when they're closed. And these businesses have cameras. Cameras are great to record crimes, and they give you a record after a crime is committed. Criminals don't care if they are caught on video. They only care if they get caught in the act of a crime. You may be asking, why use Digital Guard remote monitoring to protect your business or home? Why hire Digital Guard remote monitoring instead of hiring a security guard? What makes Digital Guard remote monitoring different from alarm monitoring companies? The answers to your questions are... What is the answer? The answer is Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring has been used to improve or replace traditional security guard services for many businesses. Our solution is a proactive and more effective way to preventing the act of a crime at less than 75% of the cost of having security guards. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring eliminates all of those associated fees that come with hiring a security guard staff. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring solves the problem of businesses burglarized overnight when they're closed. Our command center views live real-time video from any installed camera on our network. Upon viewing an attempted security breach, we can either dispatch a security response unit or immediately contact law enforcement. Digital Guard remote monitoring will improve safety, reduce accidents, reduce shrinkage, increase bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give business owners a sense of peace. Criminals don't care if they are caught on video. They only care if they get caught in the act of a crime. Be proactive, not reactive, when it comes to protecting your business or home. To get started, contact us at 888-640-5777, option 2, or visit www.digitalguardlive.com.